that 71% of those who identified themselves as conservatives were dispensationalists. More importantly, the survey noted that 98% of dispensationalists considered themselves inerrantists, and 84% of historic premillennialists affirmed inerrancy, while less than 40% of non-premillennialists agreed with inerrancy. Another survey reported in 1990 that in every presidential race in the convention during 1985 to 1989, voting followed similar patterns, with almost all dispensationalists supporting the conservative resurgence, while non-dispensationalists supported the progressive viewpoint. It should be noted that dispensationalism appears to be prominent throughout the churches, but remains somewhat absent in the seminaries, though historic premillennialism may well be the dominant millennial position now represented on Southern Baptist seminary faculties. Throughout their history, Southern Baptist leadership has refused to adopt one eschatological viewpoint, even in the days when J. Frank Norris demanded such. The development of dispensationalism in Southern Baptist Convention in recent years is obvious, but no hint of mandating such a position as a test of fellowship has ever been raised. This suggests that even the dispensationalist conservatives and their simultaneous affirmations of inerrancy and a literal hermeneutic have much more in common with the open wing of conservative evangelicalism in North America than with what can be characterized as classic separatistic American fundamentalism. What is clear is that many inerrantists, at least at the grassroots level, rarely distinguish views about the Bible with a plain or literal interpretation of the Bible. While many inerrantists do not have a fully developed dispensational theology, most advocate a hermeneutic with dispensational features, which, interestingly enough, is quite distant from the postmillennialism espoused generations earlier. Our brief survey has focused on recent developments from 1979 to the present in the area of Scripture, the Church, and eschatology. A paradigm shift has taken place regarding the doctrine of Scripture, a shift demonstrating considerable continuity with the views of Boyce, Manley, Carroll that were maintained in the early years of the Southern Baptist Convention, though reflecting distance and discontinuity from the progressive and moderate positions adopted and advocated in the 1960s and 70s. While there are several nuanced approaches to Scripture in Southern Baptist life, which I have discussed in several other places, generally it can be observed that the majority of Southern Baptists believe the Bible is God's truthful written word. Likewise, they believe it can and should be trusted in all matters. What then does this say about our theological identity? The past 14 years of controversy have been fueled by political and personal differences, but the focal point of the difference has been the affirmation or denial of the doctrine of biblical inerrancy. The Southern Baptist Convention of the 90s has clearly decided that inerrancy cannot be ignored, de-emphasized, or eliminated from the discussion. It is the focus of the developing new theological center in Southern Baptist life. It has now been heartily affirmed, but it must be continually clarified since the issue remains an often misunderstood and misrepresented one. Theology in Southern Baptist life is clearly in transition, moving toward a more conservative and evangelical consensus. But there are still issues that will receive focus in the 90s. I certainly do not have apocalyptic vision, a crystal ball, or even a good pair of binoculars to know for sure what those issues might be. But now that the foundational issue of biblical authority has been decided, we can build on that sure foundation to face the challenges of the future. I close with one final comment. Recently, Archbishop George Carey ended his first official visit to the United States with a call for theologians to balance exploration and risk-taking with worship and ministry. Carey said the unhealthy gap that frequently develops between academic theologians and churches can be avoided if theologians remember they are never superior to the revelation they explore. His observations basically summarize the concerns expressed by Southern Baptist conservatives about the nature of theological education over the past 14 years. The theological is not free. The theological explorer is not free to think anything, go anywhere, and be anything he or she likes. Dr. Carey's point is well taken. The seminaries must not lose touch with the churches. We must work hard to bring the seminaries and churches together again as co-laborers together for the cause of Christ. Together we can help churches enable and educate leaders and enhance worship in order to bring about theological renewal in Southern Baptist Convention so that the Church of Jesus Christ can grow as it lives in obedience to the command of our Lord who has commissioned us to evangelize, discipleize, baptize, and teach. The same Lord who 2,000 years ago commissioned us still calls us and gifts us to teach and equip his people for service and move them to maturity and unity. That must remain the task and mission of Southern Baptist theological education now and in the future. As we build upon this new consensus and reestablished foundation of the inspiration and authority of Scripture, with recognition of who we are, consistent with our Southern Baptist heritage, let us move beyond articulations of the nature of Scripture and with heads, hearts, and hands seek to obey the divinely inspired, completely truthful, and fully authoritative written Word of God.
Well, as you can probably imagine, there are about 7,346 things I'd like to comment on in that, but propriety would designate otherwise. I cannot resist two that I feel should be said in response. One, there was one omission in all of that Dr. Dockery went through, one very serious omission, although it was one that I would expect him to make. The fact that he never or almost never made any mention of himself is appropriate to Christian humility, but not entirely accurate to the situation. And so you need to know that as you reflect on what he has said, that he himself has been a major player and a major writer, an author in all that has taken place recently. And so the lack of prominence of his mention is due to his Christian humility and not to the subject matter itself. Secondly, I should say that as you complain about the papers that your professors ask you to write, as I know you are wont to do from time to time, I hope you'll reflect back on these lectures, because it struck me as I was listening to Dr. Dockery that regardless of what your position may have been in all of this that has been given to us, one thing stands out that we can all agree on: the power of the pen is still incredible, even if it's a computer pen that now does all the work. The fact of the matter is that written materials have profoundly influenced on all sides of the issue, the things that have gone on. And so before you complain about those papers that your professors ask you to write, remember there is little that you could do any more invaluably than to develop your ability to express yourself in writing. It will impact the lives of many, many people. Dr. Dockery, we're indebted to you for coming. We love you. I thank the Lord for you. He has been a substantive influence in my own life because of his ironic and peaceful spirit. He knows that he's had oftentimes to kind of calm me down, and I appreciate him for that. Sometimes, oddly enough, rumored, I hear it around that Dr. Dockery and I are at each other's throat. That's one reason I was glad he was invited to do these lectures, because it absolutely is not the truth. There are few people for whom I have any more regard, respect than David Dockery, and we're your debtors for coming here. I shall look forward to reading these lectures and reflecting upon them more greatly. You've seen an excellent introduction here and summary of Baptist thought across these years. So, Dr. Dockery, we thank you very much. Would you stand with us, please? Heavenly Father, we have reflected today upon many things in the past of our own denomination. And Lord, even as we grapple with these things which are critically important to our thinking, Lord, may we most of all focus on you. And in it all, may we not forget to seek our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.